God still loves the world. Do you know what part of our problem is? That we are looking at a bunch of dirty, rotten, low-down sinners. But that's not how he sees them. God only sees sheep. And the only difference between us and those, we have been found, they are still sheep. He created them. Amen. If you can get a mind fix and see the world as sheep, lost sheep, it'll help you. It'll help you. Sure, he told them about their sin. But mister, when you read the stories of his walk for 3 years through this world, preaching what his father sent him to preach, every time he ended up in love, he could write in the sand. He could forgive the man, the malefactor on the cross. Amen. The love of God. Whew. God, take us back to where we think love. Think love. One of the greatest things that was ever drilled into me by one of the founders of this movement, drilled into me as a young man. He said, Charles, unless you can think redemptively, don't try to preach the gospel. You got to think redemption. Well, I guess I've said enough about my conclusion. Well, I haven't said all of them. I just got to a few of them. When I write my book, read it. A writer said to me one day, he said, Greenaway, it would be interesting. Let me write a book on the things you wanted to say. He said, we'll publish it after you're dead. People have a way of loving a dead man, you know, even no matter what he said. What a day to be alive. That's better. By the time I get you trained, the meeting's over. Talking about the storm. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. I'm reading from Matthew 14. And go before him on the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up in a mountain to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. I'm reading from Mark 6. Don't turn to it, please. Read it when you go home. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into his ship and go on the other side while he sent the people away. And when he sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary, about the fourth watch of the night. I'm reading from John 6. And it was now dark, their ship being tossed by the waves of the storm. The fourth watch of the morning, 4 to 6, the darkest hour of the night. And he was not with them. He was alone on the mountain, while they in the midst of the sea, making no headway because of the storm. And in John it says, and it was now dark, and Jesus had not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. Have you ever been in a storm? I want to tell you something this morning. If ever this Pentecostal movement was in a storm, it's in a storm this morning. Never, never has this old ship of Zion been tossed by so many waves. I've been in storms. I remember one night flying from Kathmandu to Calcutta, a trip that I've made so many times in my life. It was the monsoon season, and we hit a storm near Mount Everest. That plane rocked, rolled, pitched. Lightning enveloped that plane. People screamed. And I saw for the first time, I didn't think it was possible, I didn't know what I was seeing. I saw a ball of orange fire inside that plane where we were sitting. It was the most terrifying thing I'd ever been through in my life. And buddy, I got my books up to date. By the time I got to Calcutta, I loved everybody. God, I preached that day on the love of God like I never preached on the love of God. I forgave. I didn't have an enemy left. By the time I got to Calcutta. You see, friends, a storm won't hurt you. It's your reaction to the storm that's hurting us. I have been in a storm. I remember once on an old Liberty ship coming from Africa down in the Horse latitudes in the Sargasso Sea area. We were loaded to the gunwales with bauxite and manganese ore out of Nigeria. In the middle hold of that ship, there were mahogany logs. Some of them weighed 5 tons. They got loose in the storm. And buddy, they began to roll. And every time those logs would shift, that ship would go over, and I felt, here we go again. Boy, at 2 o'clock in the morning, what an experience. The storm, you can't see the stars, you can't see anything, and the waves are flowing across that deck. Everything has been battened down. You can't walk around. You just hang on to something. And I remember one of the sailors said to me, he said, Mr. Greenaway, I've been on ships like this, one of them that split in two, just broke in two, which was very comforting at 2 o'clock in the morning. I finally made my way up to the bridge, and I said, Captain, what's your prognosis of this storm? He said, Mr. Greenaway, not much. He said, if one of those logs get crosswise, he said, it will go straight through this ship. They weighed sea anchor, cut the motors, and for 2 days and nights we drifted. What a horrible experience. And I learned some things. I've been in a few more storms. I was dumb enough to think that all of my storms were over. But in the last 3 months, I have come through the greatest storm of my life. I have wept more. I have cried. I have pondered. I have been twisted and stretched and torn with 1,000 emotions that I never thought I had inside of me. I got news for you preachers. In the name of God, be prepared. Because, mister, if we can't help people in a storm, we just can't help people. Amen. The test of our ministry is not when the sun is shining and the wind is low and everything's going along all right. But God has called us to help people in the storm. Hallelujah. Amen. It is not God's divine order to sink ships. It is His order to save people, not sink them. Amen. Not sink them. My God, if you can't add a little buoyancy to this ship of Zion, get out of the ministry. Deacon, Sunday school teacher, we're all in the same boat. Amen. If you can't help something, don't hurt it. You'll be judged. If we're either the answer or the problem. Storm. And the disciples. In that storm, their biggest question was, is still the same question. Nothing has changed. You know what the question is? Where is he? Where is he? Ask the hundreds of people that come to you for help. What is the big question in their mind? Where is he? I'm a Christian. I pray. I pay tithes. I believe God, and here I am in the middle of a storm. Why? We used to sing an old song. When I was a youngster, it said He may not come when you call him, but he gets there just in time. God, we used to sing that. He may not come when you call him, but he gets there just in time. Amen. You see, our problem is in a storm. There's the big tendency to lose control. The disciples had lost control of that boat. They lost control of their journey. Their big question was, he has not come unto us. He hasn't come. Where is he? He's alone on the mountain. Dear God, we need him here. But Mark says, he saw them. He saw them. Amen. Amen. Remember, in your storm, you may have lost sight of every anchor, of everything solid. But remember, he always sees us. Amen. Amen. The hairs of our head are numbered. Woo! He sees me. Dear God, he sat there on that mountain alone. But through the waves covering that ship, the fourth watch of the morning, there was no infrared light. That ship was blotted out, gone for all practical purposes. But the Bible says, but he saw them. Amen. No night is too dark and no storm too wild. Amen. Because he still walks the water. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He still walks on the water. He still walks on the water. Amen. Amen. We may lose control. I may lose control. And sometimes that's good. Then you begin to sing, he's the master of the sea. Billows his will obey. Amen. Then you begin to sing that old song we used to sing. And he walks with me. You don't even know it. And he talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own. And the joy that we share as we tarry there, no other has ever. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet. The birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walked with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. Hallelujah. And the joy that we share as we tarry there, no other has ever. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet. The birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And hallelujah, with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. And the joy that we share as we tarry there, no other has ever known. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He saw them. He saw them. Even Noah. He watched a whole generation lose control. But God said, Noah, get in that ark. Amen. I can hear Mrs. Noah about the third morning. Get me off of this thing. Stinks. Our problem is we're inside the ark of safety and we're still complaining. Amen. We don't want to put up with any opposition. We want our ark to smell nice. I got news for you. Arks don't really smell nice. You can't put that many animals in one place and not have problems. You can't put this human race without having problems. I don't like her. Noah, you got to get me off of this boat. He said, I'll get you off. Come up here and stand on the deck with me. Now you have your choice, baby. You can stand this smell until this storm is over. Or you can jump off into the water. You don't have any choice, man. You got to stay with it. Amen. But the storm will soon be over. Amen. Woo. And this old ship will land on Zion's shore. Hallelujah. Woo. We'll get off our old dirty, smelly clothes. And we'll put on robes of righteousness. Amen. And he will come down to the port to usher us in, hallelujah, to a land that floweth with milk and honey, hallelujah. There will be no night. There'll be no more trials, no more darkness. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. There'll be no more bad smells. Woo, throw your watches away, man. No more time. Amen. Throw the calendar away, man. Woo! There'll be no doctor signs, no hospitals. My God, have mercy. Would we forfeit all of that because we can't stand the storm? Amen. My advice to you this morning is hang in there. We're going to make it. Amen. We're going to make it. Oh, hallelujah, we're going to make it. And it's going to be good. The three Hebrew children standing before Nebuchadnezzar, they had lost control. Nebuchadnezzar said, you idiots, don't you read this language? Haven't you read all those billboards? When you hear the sound of the music, bow down and worship what I have created. He said, if you don't, I'm gonna throw you into that furnace. Amen. Hey, Shadrach, that's going to be bad publicity, man. We've been preaching that there's no hurt in this thing. My Lord, man. We've been preaching everybody be happy and rich. Whoo. Dear God. Meshach, don't you have some word of knowledge? Hey, God forgive us. No, I don't know. I don't know. I can't remember what was on those tapes. They had lost control. Nebuchadnezzar said, now who can save you? Out of my hand. That's what the devil is saying around this world. Who can save these Shintoists, Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims, pagans? Who can save them out of my hand? Mister, it's one thing to be in a beautiful sanctuary with the organ and the piano and the choir and the air conditioning. God, how pampered we have become. I was in a bookstore the other day, saw a book, it said, My Life Story. The kid was 25 years old. It was about his pampered life. They had lost control. Who can save you out of my hands? I know somebody that can. Amen. Don't ever lose sight of that. Amen. We're always measuring things by our capacity. But we serve one who is greater. Amen. Than the powers of hell, than the storm. He's greater. He still walks the water. Amen. He still gets that old telescope out and sees us. I remember my old buddy Claude Wood, that's dead now. He's an evangelist. He was preaching a meeting in California, in San Francisco. And one day, he decided, one afternoon, he got weary staying in that room. You know what I'm talking about. And he got in that his car and started down the freeway. Anybody would take a ride on the freeway in San Francisco is crazy. And he got down there about 25 miles south of San Francisco and ran out of gas. And he said, Greenaway, I knew I had to get back to that meeting. And I got out and I tried to flag somebody down. And in those years, the speed limit was 75 miles an hour. And he said, boy, nobody stopped. He said, I ruffled my hair, loosened my tie, lifted the hood, the trunk. And they were still going. And he said, I finally did what I should have done in the first place. I went around the other side of the car and got down. And I said, oh, God. Oh, see, he was in a storm. He had lost control. Couldn't do a thing about his situation. He needed help. He got down on his knees and he said, Greenaway, I prayed the stupidest prayer that was ever prayed. He said, I said, God, send somebody along that can give me 3 quarts of gas. 3 quarts. He said, I don't know why I said 3 quarts. He said, when I said that, I heard rubber traction on that cement. I smelled rubber. I heard brakes. I looked out over that car and there was a gasoline tank truck. Woo! And that old big old burly driver looked out and said, you got trouble, Mac? Yes, sir. He said, Greenaway, then I said another stupid thing. I said, sir, all I need is about 3 quarts of gas. He said, man, I got me 5,000 gallons back there, 3 quarts of gas. He got out with that big wrench. He said, have you got anything to put it in? He said, I had a little can. And he said, now stand back, Mac. He said, I may miss it. This thing will blow you over. Woo! 3 quarts of gas. He was hooked up to 5,000 gallons. I want you to know, mister, that we serve a God that's greater than 3 quarts. If you need 5,000 gallons, he will come. My God shall supply all of your needs. Amen. According to his riches. Amen. His riches. Amen. Not our little old bitty capacity. We may have a 3-quart capacity, but we got a 5,000 gallon God that will walk on the water to save us in the storm. Amen. What are we going to do now? Me, Shadrach. I don't know what we're going to do, but anyway. Nebuchadnezzar said, shove them in. But not until they said, when he said, who can save you from my hand? They said, our God whom we serve. Amen. Amen. Now they said, the God whom we serve. You see, those boys didn't use God like a 7-Eleven. Like a convenience store. Just pop in. No, they served him. Amen. Amen. When you're in the storm, it's good to know that you serve him. Amen. Then he'll come. He may not come when you call him, but he'll get there just in time. Throw him in. Well, they said, our God can. Say it. Say it. Say it. Then they said, our God will. Say it. Then they said, but if not. That's where we hang up. We believe God can, we believe he will, but he doesn't. I know many a person that's backslid and gone to hell because they believed for years that God could, God would, and when he didn't, they quit. I've seen parents with children. Do the same thing. When my son was 17 years old, I'd have sold him for 25 cents. When he was 18, I wanted to kill him. We were in a storm. But his little old mama, she laid on her face. She believed God. I wanted to fight with him. She loved him. That boy got turned around. I mean, man, he got turned around. He got washed at Calvary. God called him, and today he's a preacher. Amen. That loves God, wants to go to the hardest spot on the face of the earth to do missionary work. I had lost control. I believe God could. I believe he would, but he didn't. I wanted to help God. Because I came from a long line of Irish. We were ready for a fight, fun, funeral, or frolic, whichever came first. Throw them in there. They threw them in. Hey, that's a bad testimony, man. We've been preaching God could, God would, but he didn't. It's going to ruin us in the neighborhood. God help us. Our little old finite mind. And we measure God by this. Who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah! The morning stars sing together and worship him. And the mountaintops join in. Hallelujah! And the angels come in. And there's a hallelujah chorus to him who was and is and shall be forevermore. Hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah. The unconcealable Christ. History couldn't hide him. Eternity couldn't hide him. Amen. He's unconcealable. Hallelujah. I like what Lockridge said when these people say, well, where did God come from? They sniffle, you know. Where did God come from? He didn't come from anywhere. He was already there. That'll blow your mind. He's eternal. Lockridge says he came out of nowhere, stood on nothing, because there was nowhere to stand. Said, I'll create me a world. Reached out for something that wasn't there and got a hold of it. And then hung it where there was nowhere to hang it. And stood back and said, hey, that's good. Because he was the only one to say it. He's eternal. Amen. He didn't come on the scene during the Revolutionary War. He was here before the Medes and the Persians. And the Egyptians. And the Chinese. Amen. He was. Simply says he was. Amen. He is. And he will be. Forevermore. King of kings, Lord of lords, master of everything. Hallelujah. Amen. Not dead, alive. Woo. They threw him in there. Bad testimony. And the king starts back towards the palace and happens to look back. He said, hey, hold it. How many did you put in there? They said three. He got out his little calculator. He said, there's four in there. They said, look, you've had a hard day. Let's go back to the castle and get you some soul music. You're having hallucinations. Now, he said, there's four in there. And he said, furthermore, they're walking around. That scares me. He said, what'd you bind them with? Whatever you did, it's melted. They're walking around. And we shall see the king when he comes. Amen. 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 We shall. Woo! They had lost control in the storm. But he saw them. He not only saw them, he walked through the fire. Amen. Amen. He'll walk through the fire. He'll walk through the storm. Amen. Amen. Who was in there? Who was in there with them? Who? 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 I'll tell you who was in there. Old Ephnot. That'll hit you tomorrow. Our God can. Our God will. But if not, that's who was in there. Amen. Woo! All if not was in there. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Do you know, have you ever seen these saints bobbling from rear view mirrors? Have you ever seen them? The people hang them up there. You know, that's the same thing we have in India or anywhere else. Do you know that in India, in Madura, the holy city, on the towers of the famous temples of Madurai, there are over 3 million gods inscribed. Even the Greeks worshipped every god they could think of. And finally, they made an altar to the unknown god, so in case they missed one, and wouldn't offend him. Woo! But you know what all of those gods are for? Every god that you see in the world outside of God Almighty, every one of those things have been created to save people from something. But I serve the only, out of all of the millions of gods in the world, I serve the only true and living God. Hallelujah. I serve Him. He is my God. I am His child. Amen. And He is the only God that can allow me to get into something and save me out of the fire. Hallelujah. Not keep the fire from me. Let me get in it and whoop, save me out of it. Oh, hallelujah. Woo. Our God can, our God will, but if not, don't give up till old if not walks on the scene. Mary and Martha standing at the tomb of Lazarus. Jesus walks in after a while, and they hang on Him, and they say, "Master, if you would have been here, you could have saved him." And they said, "If you'd have been here, you would have healed him. But you weren't." No, they've already got his obituary in the paper. We had hope as long as we could see him, but by this time he stinketh. Hello? Why were you so late? Why didn't you come when I called you? And he put his arms around him and said, "Don't worry." And he walked over to the grave. Amen. And old if not stood there. Said, "Lazarus!" You know why he said Lazarus? If he hadn't have said Lazarus, that whole graveyard would have come up. He's the master. Don't you forget it, mister. He's the master. I don't know what your storm is this morning, but he's the master. Peter in jail, chained between two guards. The inner door locked, the outer door locked. Peter, he had lost control, man. The adulteress that they brought to Jesus, that poor little old girl had lost control of her life. Her moral values. She had lost control. They said, "Kill her. Kill her." She was in a storm, man. It was the fourth watch of the morning for her. Jesus said, "Okay, let's start at the beginning. Let every one of you without sin cast the first stone." And they walked away with bowed heads because the master had spoken. Amen. He's the last word. You don't give up until he has spoken. Amen. Amen. He said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Amen. Amen. He's the master. He's the master. It was the fourth watch of them. But Peter is in jail. He's in his fourth watch. The Christians are at home. They're at home saying, "Oh, God, deliver Peter." And then that bunch were surprised when God did deliver him. It scared him to death. They said, "Oh, my God, it's Peter." No, they said, "It's a hallucination." But Peter, there in the fourth watch of the morning, in his storm, the angel walks in. Hey, they don't need keys. Amen. Oh God, oh God, oh God, the angels of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Amen. Not these little moth wings that we dress up our kids with on Christmas. I'm going to help you. Amen. We don't do it by ourselves. No, no, he's the master. Amen. Amen. He may not come when you call him, but he'll get there. Just in time. Get awake, Peter. Hey, man, I'm chained here. God help us. I'm chained. I'm stuck. I've sent resumes all over the country. I'm stuck here. I don't think anybody's reading my resume, God. Let somebody read one. I'm chained. He said, quit that foolishness. Get up. The chains didn't fall off until he got up. We're laying there wanting the chains to fall off while we're still on our blessed assurance. Get up. And when he did, the chains fell off. Amen. Peter said, let's go. And God said, you can't go in your shorts, man. Get your suit on. Hey, 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 hey. Our problem is we're in too big of a hurry. Amen. Nothing has worked out here. The church is not moving. I'm going to find me a better church. He said, get your robe on. Now sit down there and put your shoes on. My God, we got to get out of here before those guards catch us. Can you imagine? The God that let the chains fall off of him, he's worried about the guards. Amen. Get out! He had lost control. But if not, walked in. Amen. You lose control in the storm. And the Bible says, but he saw them. Then it says, he came to them. How beautiful it is. But they were scared. Our problem hasn't changed. Our problem is seeing God when he does appear and knowing who he is when he comes on the scene. The Bible says they were frightened. They thought they had seen a spirit. Can you imagine? Men that walked with him, saw him do miracles, ate with him, slept with him. Can you imagine? Those same men didn't recognize him when he came. And our problem is the same. We don't recognize God in the storm. Amen. But he said to them, be of good cheer. Be not afraid. For it is I. The I of the storm. Not the EYE of the storm, but the I of the storm, hallelujah, had walked on the sea. Woo! Fear not, for it is I. Amen. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, it is I. How many times in my storms have I seen him walk on the water? Amen. He'll walk on your water. Amen. Our problem today is that this movement is in a storm. It's being attacked by every ugly thing that can attack it. But I got news for you, buddy. I can count a few graves of men and women that made it all the way. Amen. Amen. They made it good. I'm not about to be discouraged. If everybody falls by the wayside, dear God, I learned Pentecostal power is power to stand alone. Amen. If everything goes, there is power for you to stand. Hallelujah. You don't have to ride with a posse. Things I learned in plowing over 15 tribes that never heard of Jesus until they heard it from us was that I did not walk alone. Amen. You can't believe it. I look back on it now. We were either, God was either with us or we were crazy to live in that place. But we were young and full of vinegar. The whole world was leveled. Every day I thank God he got a hold of me when I was young. Amen. I have no regrets. For 53 years I've preached this gospel to the ends of the earth. And one of these days I'm going home. I'm going to be like Enoch of old. It says, and Enoch walked with God, and one day, boom, he was not. For God took him. The devil didn't get him. God took him. Amen. When you walk with him, God will take you. Amen. Woo, he'll take you. What happened to Enoch? He walks close to God, and one day they were walking along, and God looked down and said, hey, boy, it's now closer to my house than it is to yours. Let's go home. And he went home. Woo! And God's going to say, Greenaway, you've had enough. Let's go home. And I'm going home. You can hang around if you want to, but I'm going home. Whew. And at my funeral, now, Bethel, you keep that in mind. You already know that. Nobody's getting into my funeral unless they have a missionary offering. Nobody's getting into my funeral unless you have a missionary offering. The ushers are going to ask you. It's in the bylaws. They finally got the church air conditioned so the candles won't be half-masked. Woo! Hey, boy, listen, if you're around, you come over and lead the singing. That was great. God, you got a little life in it finally. But they're going to sing. Brother Lambert said, come over and we'll have a dry run on it. And we'll put you in the casket with a handful of faith promises. Hey, that'll melt their butter. But I'm not living my whole life for missions and then missing one great last opportunity to take a good one. Oh, hallelujah. And it'll be guaranteed. Don't come to my funeral with a long face. Hey. Yeah, because I won't be there anyway. Hey, I'll be like that young preacher that was trying his best to impress the people with his first funeral. And he leaned over about halfway through and he said, dear friends, he said, that body in that casket is only the shell. He said, the nut has gone to heaven. I've been taught to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. What do I care what they do with this? Amen. I'm going home. Hallelujah. I'm like Calvin Olson's father. Calvin Olson, that beautiful missionary for 40 some years to Bangladesh, the hellhole of the world, the sinkhole of the world, half the size of Arkansas with 105 million people. A basket case full of demons in hell, the powers of darkness. Calvin has been beaten, dragged through the marketplace. I remember during the war between the Pakistans, I stayed up there as long as I could and had to come home. And he was writing me a letter. And he said, Brother Greenaway, it's bad tonight. He said, we haven't had any electricity for 3 days, no water for two. He said, we're spending a lot of time in the middle of the house in that old cast iron bathtub that can, where shells can ricochet instead of coming through. He said, tonight it's exceptionally bad. Shots are coming through the building. He said, the plaster's loose on the ceiling, falling down. He said, as a matter of fact, I'm under the table writing this letter. But he said, Brother Greenaway, don't worry about us because we're not taking any unnecessary chances. Woo! Then I come home and people are worried and going to hell because somebody didn't shake hands with him. Tell me about it. Somebody said to me the other day, they said that they snubbed me. I said, look, can they save you? Of course not. Can they heal you? Of course not. I said, what you worried about? You're going to go to hell over something big, but not because somebody didn't shake hands with you or because somebody doesn't like you. A lot of people don't like me. And it's mutual. God didn't tell me I had to like everybody's ways. He said, love them in spite of their ways. I don't care if you don't like their ways, but love their souls. Amen. And act accordingly. They called for me to pray for an old man recently, and 95 years old, and they said, Brother Greenaway, you got to get a hold of God. Oh, God's got to heal him. Oh, what a testimony. I went over and prayed for him. I said, God, take him home. They said, Brother Greenaway, I had no way to pray. I said, it is too. I said, my God, he's 95 years old. You want him to hang around another year and get into some of this new revelation stuff and go to hell? Let him go. He's ready, man. We talk about heaven, sing about heaven, write poetry about heaven, preach about heaven, get sick. Oh, God, heal me. We're scared to death we're going to heaven. You can go to heaven with two heads and a broken leg, but you can't go to heaven unless that soul is washed in the blood. Hallelujah. There is no way a man's going to make it in. Let's put our priority on the right thing. But Calvin's father got sick. He was 100 years old up in Wilmer, Minnesota. Looked out on that congregation many times that I've preached in Wilmer and saw that old man. He was a rock in a weary land. That old man was something else. One morning, Calvin came home and Calvin called me from Wilmer and he said, Dad passed away last night. And I said, Calvin, did your dad suffer? He said, not really. He said, last night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, he said, I was standing there beside Dad's bed. We were alone, just the two of us. And he said, suddenly, my father's eyes opened. He raised one hand to heaven, reached out and got a hold of mine. And he said, the last words he said, Calvin, my anchor holds. Woo! My father, my anchor holds. Amen. God help us. At the end of this life, our anchor will still hold. Oh, hallelujah. My anchor holds. I gotta let you go. But I remember when I was a young preacher and married a very wonderful girl whose father was a pioneer from 1914, even before. When I married her, she weighed 86 pounds. Took her to Africa. She followed me to the ends of the earth. Never once did I hear that woman say, I can't. particular ones. As we get older, and I'm away from home so much, it's getting harder. And she's not well. And I told her one day, I said, Mary, I said, I'll cancel my meeting. And we're going back home. I'm going to fix you up. We always dreamed of that. She said, Charles, we've come too far now. It doesn't matter. We'll ride it out, whatever betides. We had a son born to us. I was pastoring a little church in Talladega, Alabama. We lived in the back of the church. In about a 9-foot room that went the length or the width of the church, 32 feet. We boiled our clothes in an iron pot. There was no air conditioning, there was nothing. And our first son was born, a beautiful child. Named him Charles Daniel. That kid was a healthy baby. He grew, and we were proud. God was leading us to Africa at that time. And I remember that particular church was a mess. If you boys think you've been in messes, it was impossible to build a church almost. I tried. They said when I took it, and they said, well, the few people that got together said, you take all the offerings and pay all the bills. And that was okay until the offerings started to increase. Then they wanted to take it back. I said, no way, man, we made a deal. I came home one night and they had a thesis, because we had to go through the church doors to get into the back. And those deacons had written me a letter and said, get out of town. They're all dead now. I don't know if they made it. I'll tell you later. They didn't help me. But I left. And as a young evangelist preaching in West Florida, Georgia, Alabama, God was blessing. People were getting saved in my meeting, healed, baptized. But suddenly this boy comes down with leukemia. And in those years they knew nothing about it except to give him blood transfusion. And we watched that boy go down to skin and bone. We were staying in people's homes. And people would get up in the morning and complain about they couldn't sleep at night. And I was embarrassed. Mary was embarrassed, and we'd weep. See, we were in the storm, man. And we were losing control. I was down to my last suit of clothes, and it was threadbare. My shirts, the collars were right. I was actually putting cardboard in my shoes to cover the hole. And the devil was saying to me, hey man, you're a Pentecostal preacher. God's supposed to meet all your needs. That's what you preach. Now here you are. And buddy, we were going through hell. And yet God was blessing me. Now remember the morning that I came out of the place where I was staying and to get my mail, and I got my mail and there was a letter that said from the finance company, said, we're coming to take your car. The devil was pounding me in the ground. I almost quit. The pressure. As a matter of fact, I think I got to the place where I couldn't think rationally. And he hadn't come to me. He was alone somewhere. He hadn't come to me. And buddy, the storm was increasing. And the darkness was getting darker for me and Mary. And I put the letter in my pocket that morning and got her in that old Plymouth and started up through the clay roads the back way up to Troy. Eulis McGraw, that ran the shop there in Troy, was the only person in that town that had the same type of blood. And I'd have to go get him every time. The boy's mouth by this time was hanging just like grapes. Can you imagine what that little mother was going through? That was her firstborn. And I remember that morning getting in that car, turning that key on, and the oil pump wouldn't work. I said, I'll drive it till it falls apart. Got up to Troy and went up and got Brother McGraw and brought him down. He closed his shop and came down. Standing there because I had to hold him while they'd split his leg and down here. And I remember that day. I looked at that doctor and I said, Doc, I can't stand this anymore. I can't. I can't. Man, you don't know what I was going through. And he looked at me and he said, you don't have to go through it, Mr. Greenaway. The boy's veins are collapsing. Please take him home. Please let him die. I'm a Pentecostal preacher, man. I've seen God heal people like that. And here is my own son dying. I can't do a thing about it. I lost control. I got in that old car and started down the road. Mary sitting there with silent tears flowing down her cheeks, and it killed me. It just killed me. And I had a flat tire and no spare. Hot that day. I'm alone, man. I could say a lot of things here, but I'm going to tell you something, mister. I've never allowed things like that to keep me from helping people. As a matter of fact, it has increased my desire to help everybody I can help, white, black, yellow, or brown. I got out of that car. I can't tell you. I looked in there at that little mother clasping that dying child, praying, God, don't take my boy. Don't take him. Don't take him. Don't take him. And I hear a car coming down the road. And I motion for a ride. And the man turned his head. I don't think he saw me really, and passed me by. It was an official of my own district. And he went on down out of sight. And that was the last straw. I knew that everything on God's green earth was against me. I knew that I was never going to get out of this storm. I had lost control. And I knew when he passed me, that was it. But like Job of old, when he sat there on that ash heap, and his wife was screaming to him, curse God and die. I tell you, friends, when we're in the storm, it's not a lot of other voices we need. We need to hear him who said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Amen. Hear ye him. And I laid my head on the side of that car and I sobbed. My heart felt like it had burst. I saw nothing. No way. And suddenly, God, for some reason, let me see Samson. Brought into that banqueting hall that night between guards. His strength gone. His eyes gone. Blind. Racked. His body covered with the scars of his beatings. They used him like a dog. They bring him in, and I saw this standing on by that roadside in South Alabama. And they brought him in, and he heard the glasses, the wine pouring into the glasses. He heard the drunken, ribald party out of hell. They brought him in there to make fun of him. Suddenly, in the middle of it all, Samson raises his head, those sightless eyes, towards heaven. And he said, "God, God, help me one more time. One more time. One more time." And that day, I raised my head. I raised my hand. I said, "God, there in that Alabama sun, the smell of that red dust, and the silent crying of my wife, I said, God, please help me one more. I don't know how I got home." But the next night, 2 o'clock in the morning, that little girl, my little wife, lifted that tear-stained face towards him and said, "Jesus, he suffered enough. You can have him. You can have him. Before she could wipe the tears away, he was gone. I remember I walked out in the yard and I said, "God, I don't understand this, but I'm not going to hell over the mysteries. That was the biggest mystery to me. God, I pray for people and they get healed. And here I am in my storm. Don't go to hell over mysteries. If there's something you don't understand that's happened to you this morning, in the name of God, commit it to him and keep moving on, because someday he'll make it plain to me." From that day to this, I have never gone to a counselor, a pastor, a friend, and said, "Explain that to me." I just said, "God, I don't understand it, this mystery. But I'm moving on. I don't understand. Don't ask me, please. I don't understand what's happened in the last 4 months. I don't understand it. I thought I had been through all my storms. But I take his hand in mine, because he's still saying, be not afraid. It is I. Amen. He's the eye of your storm this morning. Your friends are not the eye of the storm. Your movement is not the eye of the storm. He is the eye of your storm this morning. Let's stand and worship him. Father, for who can declare your glory? Who can declare your strength? Who can declare your grace? Grace, grace, marvelous grace. Oh God, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you this morning. I thank you that you walked on the water, that you came to me in my storm and said, peace, be still. Be of good cheer, for it is I. I'm glad you came. I thank you this morning. I love you. Oh God. Oh God, this morning, calm our storm. Help me one more time, oh God. Take my hand. Break me. Mold me. Shape me. Do anything you want to with me, but use me. Use me. Help me to help someone find their way. Oh God. Help our pastors to help their people to find their way in this storm. Oh, hallelujah. Help our deacons and our Sunday school teachers and our missionette leaders and our Royal Rangers leaders. God, help them. Help them. Oh, God. Help them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.